Hi everyone, and welcome to the latest episode of the Product Marketing Insider podcast. I'm your host, Lawrence Chapman, and I'm the Senior Copywriter here at Product Marketing Alliance. In this episode, I'm revisiting the Product Marketing Summit in San Francisco, where I spoke with Scott Varner, Senior Consultant at Closed. Scott manages win-loss programs to help enterprise organizations systematically and helps them uncover why they win and lose deals in order to improve win rates. During our discussion, Scott shared how product marketers can win at win-loss analysis.
Okay, fantastic. Right, so welcome back to the Product Marketing Summit podcast. It's been a great day so far. I'm delighted to be joined by Scott Varner. So Scott's the Senior Consultant at Closed, win-loss specialist. So Scott, so pleased to have you here.
Happy to be here. Couldn't be happier.
And how have you found the summit so far?
So far, incredible. It's just too bad we're approaching the end.
Oh, no, it's been a great 2 days, and I'm sure that the next summit it'll come around sooner rather than later. Yeah. So, it's been great having you here. So, just to start off, could you just please tell us a little bit about your role at Closed, please?
Yeah, Closed is a company that specializes really in win-loss analysis. You already took it away from me. What that means we do is we get to work with a lot of mainly B2B organizations and try to help them collect feedback from a bunch of different channels, mainly tapping into their customer, the buyer, who's going to tell them in a post-decision, post-mortem, what drove their decision? Why did they make the choice that they did? Why did they choose our clients? Why did they win? Or why did they lose? And so they'll tell that entire story through a narrative that takes us through their perception of product features and functionality, their perception of pricing and packaging, interacting with the sales team, ease of buying, and we can layer that feedback and serve it back to people so they can have this full deal 360 combined with the information they already have and make some really strong course corrections and win more.
Yeah. Okay, great. And what does a product marketing function actually look like at Closed?
Yeah. I mean, at Closed, it's interesting because we have our own product marketing team that is really focused on how do we take the service that we have? How do we take the service and the platform and align it with the customers that we have? But also, how do we build this network of the product marketers that we serve? Product marketing at Closed looks like, how do we take product marketers, make them more successful? Out of the people that I interact with, most of the product marketers aren't even necessarily Closed product marketers. It's my clients who are trying to solve their own challenges.
Yeah. Okay, fantastic. And in terms of 2022, just kind of looking at things so far, somehow it's September and it's just flown by. But what's been your personal highlight of this year?
Yeah. Personal highlight as far as success in product marketing is I love being able to source information. I had one client that they're in a very competitive space. They compete with very established players. They consider themselves a differentiator. We were able to go tap into customer feedback and figure out that one of their main differentiators just is not landing. Serve back to them, hey, from the perception of the customer, they're saying, you don't have this capability to integrate with Microsoft Teams. And that challenged some things internally where we have senior sales staff say, that's not the case. How can that be? Us being able to help our product marketer contact, quantify the number of customers that perception, gave them immediate resourcing so that they could go make a huge pivot, make a concerted effort. 3 months later, when we did our win-loss analysis for that customer, we were no longer hearing that capability as being a weak point. We were hearing that capability as being a key strength. Absolutely nothing had changed about the product capability, but everything had changed with the way the sales was messaging that, and it resulted in an increased win rate.
Okay, sweet. And just rewinding slightly back to 2021 and comparing that to 2022, what kind of shifts have you seen in between those 12 months?
Just in terms of broad
yeah,
spectrum.
Yeah. So just looking at the whole world of win-loss or product marketing in general.
Yeah. It's interesting. I think some key things in 2021, we saw the world kind of start to come back alive a little bit, where things started to resume normalcy. That one of the key reasons people were losing in 2020 was budgets were frozen. People weren't able to spend. In 2021, a lot of key priorities came back. And we saw also the rise of a lot of solutions where people could facilitate a hybrid work environment. That's where we saw a lot of organizations find key wins. Sometimes it was messaging how they could make that more like a more workable environment. Sometimes it was developing innovative products that help them facilitate that. I think just looking at the trend that we're coming into 2022, I think there's a lot of nervousness around this recession. And so now we're seeing companies start to come down. And one of the key things is, how do we win in a downturn economy? Again, how do we combat, how do we tap into the insights of 2020 and make sure that we can overcome potentially like budget cycles freezing up again?
Absolutely. And just kind of like stripping things back to a really basic granular level, from your perspective, what does an effective win-loss program look like?
Effective win-loss, it's interesting. We kind of talk about this win-loss maturity curve, mm-hmm. that win-loss for a lot of organizations starts with guesswork, those assumptions, those things get passed around internally. It evolves into doing some CRM analysis, some basic tagging that you're relying on data from the sales reps. You start to level up win-loss when you do like collective, like really concentrated programs. You want to do like a research initiative that you go collect feedback that goes beyond your internal CRM, goes beyond your internal data, go talk to customers, go survey customers, and then to answer the question, like what does the most effective look like? It becomes this ongoing, continuous virtual cycle where people are not just doing one project, but they're always on. They're always, every single month, looking back at their closed loss deals, running reports, going collect feedback from customers. They're taking that feedback, serving it back into the organization, making sure that it's visible for key leaders in all parts of the organization. They're making changes, and then they're looking back to say, did those changes that we did just last month, did that result in increased win rate?
Okay, and I mean, one thing that comes up all the time whenever I speak to a product marketer, because I'm not a product marketer myself, but yeah. And I always ask you know, which teams do you collaborate with the most? And unsurprisingly, you know, product marketing and sales are so you know, tightly knitted.
Yeah.
How can product marketing teams use win-loss and make sure that it's being presented to the sales teams in the most efficient way?
Yeah, and that's a good question. And it's different because from all the organizations we work with, product marketing looks very, very different in terms of its responsibility, in terms of its roles. Sometimes product marketing has direct influence on the product itself. It stays linked to product. Sometimes it's more closely tied to sales, reports directly into sales. Sometimes it's an entirely separate function. So the answer changes depending on like where product marketing sits in the organization, where it reports to. But the core mechanics of how does any product marketer make it successful is get buy-in from the highest level, get support so they know like you're going to go collect feedback. When you collect that feedback, have some kind of consistent system that you're measuring the win-loss feedback. This is kind of a qualitative research where it gets difficult to actually like make any sense of it. So start with a system that when we get this feedback, we know how it's going to be reported, how it's going to be measured, and then make it visible. Win-loss tends to surface, going back to the beginning, feedback from tons of areas. It gets feedback about your product. It's feedback about the way it was messaged from the sales team. How did it get communicated during proof of concept? What was the pricing and packaging? If you can take all those little golden nuggets of feedback and give them to the people that are responsible for each of those functions, they're going to get a lot of insights that go beyond just what a centralized product marketer can see. And so service for them, like, hey, here's some interesting standouts. When you want to, if you want to drill in deeper and understand more about what that means, here's where you can go a little bit deeper in that respective role, and then have a conversation around it. Meet with the different teams separately, meet with the different teams together, and figure out what are the actions that we're going to take because of this. Mm-hmm. And always make sure that there is an action that's mutually like decided on. Otherwise, we're collecting less feedback for nothing.
Absolutely. And you kind of very briefly touched upon like buy-in. So what kind of advice would you give to product marketers to help them, you know, secure that all important buy-in from key stakeholders when conducting win-loss analysis?
Yeah. It's just like you're being a sales rep. You have to start by understanding what's the key challenge, what's the key priority that the stakeholder I need buy-in, what's the key thing that keeps them up at night. Usually it's pretty easy to make an assumption that like they want to increase dollars, they want to increase revenue. And so you can even start there and say, if in your organization you're tracking win rate in any meaningful way, go present that data back to your key executive. Let's just say your key executive is the CEO. I want the CEO buy-in. And I say, hey, our annual revenue is $100 million. And we know we have a 20% win rate, which means we win one in every five deals. If we could increase our win rate by just 10%, and by that I mean if we could increase our win rate from a 20% to a 22%, that would net us $10 extra million in revenue a year. And so if you can go and say, hey, do you want to increase our revenue by $10 million?
The answer is going to be yeah. Yeah.
Investing in win-loss does not cost anywhere close to $10 million. Yeah. Investing in win-loss can start with a very simple initiative to go collect some feedback from 10 customers, 20 customers.
Yeah.
That's like your little win-loss pilot. If you can go from those, get even just one key insight, and with that volume of, I guess, that even that small volume, you can get more than one key insight.
Yeah.
But with just one key insight, you go make one change, you net one additional sale, that's already paid for that investment a few times over. Mm-hmm. And usually there, once you can see that type of immediate result, any CEO, any key stakeholder is going to kind of perk up. So if you go to them and you start talking win-loss and they're kind of glazed over, go do that. Their eyes will be a little wider, I promise.
Yeah, absolutely. And it all boils down really to just demonstrating value, basically. Yeah. And switching our attention slightly to like voice of the customer. So what role does VOC play in a win-loss program?
Yeah, I would say voice customer, in a lot of ways, is the most vital part of win-loss. When we talked about that win-loss maturity, starting point is usually like guesswork and then internal data collection, which oftentimes resides in the CRM. I think ask anybody in an organization, ask any product marketer, how much do you trust that information?
Yeah.
There's going to be probably a low level of trust, low level of confidence.
Yeah.
So the next step is always go get buyer feedback, go get the voice of customer. When you get that, that completes this picture in just an incredible way where it's like, hey, our sales rep, actually a stat that I actually just read says that even when an organization does a postmortem and the buyer's willing to share what happened, only 40% of the time does the buyer tell the complete truth, which means 60% of every deal, there's an incomplete picture. And that's actually from wins. So 60% of your wins aren't telling you the complete story. Just imagine what you could do if you go talk to customers on losses.
Yeah.
And that usually becomes like, that's why I say that becomes the key part of win-loss, is most people then just say, let's go survey buyers, let's go talk to buyers on lost deals. We're not looking to upsell them right now. We're not looking to like change their mind. We're just looking to understand. We're looking to get a full, more complete story.
Yeah. And in terms of once you've conducted, say, for instance, win-loss interviews, what process would you kind of recommend that product marketers go through in terms of analyzing the results that come on the back of those interviews so that they can then, improve their product or service?
Yeah, the analysis is interesting. I think if I were to try to simplify the analysis, the framework that we use is start with decision drivers. And by decision drivers, we mean think about the categories that, you know, buyers are going to be like making their decisions based on.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to talk about a few of them a couple of times, but product is a category, pricing and packaging is a category. Just within those, there's going to be like some different decision drivers. With product, you're going to have drivers that are related to your product features, your product functionality, its user interface, user experience, ease of integrations, onboarding experience. And then there's different elements of your pricing and packaging. When you collect feedback, get organic feedback, and then immediately try to tag the feedback into that decision driver framework.
Okay.
What that looks like for me is I get on the phone with buyers. I talk to them. I have this entire kind of structured conversation where I have an interview guide that has questions probing into those categories.
Mm-hmm.
And so as I start to get answers, I drill down and I ask, well, why was that important? Why was that important? Until I can arrive at like, you know, a really concrete statement.
Yeah.
And I say, okay, that statement feeds back into this decision driver. You end that kind of like win-loss interview session, and now you have, you know, this one deal, maybe here's like the five decision drivers that mattered. Some of them had positive influence on the deal. here's the key ones that like decided the deal. Here's the deal breaker. Here's why we lost to that competitor that just irks us.
Yeah.
You do one of those, and now you have this wealth of information you can go serve back to the different teams. They can look and analyze that feedback. When you get a high volume of interviews, and you're mapping it, and you're reporting on it using the decision driver system, now you can prioritize things and say, okay, out of 100 win-loss interviews, in 70 of them, this was a really important talking point. Usually it skews negative. In fact, on losses, out of 70 losses that we talked to, here's the number one, two, and three items. Here's the number one, two, and three decision drivers that mattered. On wins, here's decision drivers one, two, and three that also mattered. That's a really great starting point to go say, hey, here's the quick fixes, guys. Here's what we need to go change.
Yeah, yeah. And in, when it comes to once the win-loss program's actually been completed and you've got all your results, sometimes it can be a case of, you know, if you've conducted any research or whatever, companies don't necessarily always share it effectively. But to get the most out of those results, it needs to be communicated with all relevant teams. What would be, in your mind, the best way or best practices for making sure that those takeaways are shared internally and you can use those like key takeaways to improve the product?
Yeah. Embrace transparency and make sure that culturally you can embrace transparency. And that's easier said than done. You know, there's some organizations that they are willing to take any piece of feedback and know, okay, like this is perception of customer. And if this doesn't align with the reality of our business,
We
have to accept that the perception of the customer is the reality of the customer. Let's be willing to make some changes. Let's be willing to confront those changes. And so, like, I think embrace transparency, give that feedback to as many people as can consume it, and make sure that everyone has the same feedback. And sometimes what that means is like summarize for them the quick, you know, 5 points of why we win, the quick 5 points why we lost, and then trust that people are going to go do the digging that they need to understand that better when it you know, falls under their responsibility.
Sure. And in terms of, I mean, we spoke, a little bit earlier about, 2021 and how things have evolved since 2021 to going into 2022. How do you see product marketing and win-loss, of course, evolving as we go into 2023, moving forward?
I only see product marketing becoming more critical to businesses. I think businesses are kind of starting to figure it out. For a while, I think a lot of businesses were adopting product marketing and they didn't have, you know, KPIs established. They didn't necessarily know, like, how are we gonna, like, how do we leverage product marketing to its maximum? Over the last year, I think businesses have started to figure it out. And I actually probably should credit the business. I should say product marketers are starting to figure it out. They're starting to feel comfortable in their roles. They're starting to know how they can leverage connections they've built to drive effective change.
Yeah.
I think the people that I work with that are using win-loss, that's been a really great launching point for them to have strong relationships with all the different parts of the business, product, sales, and marketing teams. Like, they all know, like, we can come to this, like, one-stop resource at any given time to know, what should I know about why we lost this last quarter? Being able to be the person that answers that question makes you the organization's best friend.
Yeah.
There's a lot of visibility. I see product marketing only becoming more important for that reason.
Yeah. Awesome. And, kind of switching the attention to yourself and, like, moving away from win-loss, what would you say would be, or what would you regard as your biggest ever product marketing achievement in your career so far?
Ooh, that's a good one.
Sorry, that's quite a big question.
I know, we're getting, like, my biggest product marketing success across my entire career. I'm very much in a role, and this may be born from my background as a customer success manager, that the best success that I achieve is when the clients that I work with win. So I go back to that same story that I shared in the beginning. I wish I had a more selfish, like, this is my best product marketing success, but it's when I can see my clients be successful. I had one person that we work with, that they got this huge promotion, and they come back and they say, it's because of my efforts with win-loss that I got this promotion. That's what gave them visibility. So that's my personal favorite success story.
Awesome. Well, Scott, thank you so much. I'm sure everyone will find those those insights are certainly as interesting as I have. But thanks so much for attending the summit. Thanks so much for talking with me. Have you enjoyed it?
Loved it. Yeah, I'll be back. Back next year, probably back in another city.
Love it. Scott, thanks so much, mate. Cheers.
Yeah, thanks, Lawrence.
Thanks so much for tuning into this episode of Product Marketing Insider Podcast. Remember, we have an extensive back catalogue of episodes waiting to be explored, as well as dedicated series focusing on core product marketing areas such as storytelling, go-to-market, leadership, sales enablement, competitive intelligence, and much more. For the full selection, head to www.productmarketingalliance.com/podcasts.